Good to be in church today. Come on, somebody. Go ahead and be seated. God bless you guys. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Thank you guys for the opportunity to come and minister here this morning. It's always a privilege and an honor to stand behind the pulpit of one of the churches in our region. Amen. I don't take it lightly that God has graced us with the ability to preach his gospel. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't even talk before I got saved. Didn't want to talk to nobody. Sometimes I still don't. That's a whole nother message. But I thank God for my salvation. Over 32 years ago, Jesus Christ set me free from heroin addiction. And he saved me, restored my marriage and my family, and called me into the ministry of Victory Outreach. And God has done things in my life that I would have never imagined would ever have gotten done. But I'm grateful this morning. Amen. Then I have my wife with me, my wife, Myra. Why don't you come up here, Myra? Share a word of greeting. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We're always very, very excited to come to this church. And, you know, we're very blessed to be here. Number one, because you guys have awesome pastors. And we have seen them step out, rise up, and we have seen their development. And I know that the hand of God is upon this church. And I also know how much the devil has tried to destroy this church, and how many pastors and leaders he tried to knock out before this group right here, including your pastors. And this morning, we came early and we began to pray with the men's home. And as we were praying, my heart started stirring. And when it starts beating real fast, I know God's going to tell me something. And I went to the side to that table and I asked the Lord, God, what is it about this church? What do you want to show me? And I don't want to sound super mystical because I don't want the attention to go on me. But I want you to focus on what I believe the Lord mentioned this morning. And I believe that God wants to pour out his spirit. And we hear that term very loosely nowadays. But I believe that a mighty wave of revival is going to fall upon this church. I believe that God is going to use your pastors. God is going to use the people here. And listen to me, it's because you're a humble people. And I pray that you never feel that you become so big that you cannot be broken. And let God speak to you. And I believe that the Lord said there's going to be a mighty wave, a mighty wind of revival that's going to pass through Milwaukee. And God is going to raise up your church. And he's going to pour out his spirit in a double portion. And it's going to be so supernatural that people that you're not even reaching out to are going to be added to your church. They're just going to be drawn to your church because they're going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit living here. But the Lord said that there's one condition, and the condition is that you have to unite. And I don't know exactly what that means, and I know that every church has their own drama. And I also know that this church has been hit, and it's been hurt, and there's been a slight little division, as with our church and many other churches out there in the body of Christ. But I believe today that the Lord is saying to unite and to become one and to hear the voice of your shepherd and to get behind your shepherd and to get in line and to get under his rank and begin to follow the man and the woman of God. And God is going to bless you, not just your church as a whole, but God is going to release supernatural blessings. He's going to pour out his spirit upon your life and you're going to get supernaturally healed. Your children are going to be saved. Things are going to begin to happen in your life that you've been believing God for. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, follow a man and that's the only way to get your blessings. But I'm telling you that that's the order that the Lord has set. He has placed a man behind this pulpit. And as you get behind that man and stop hearing every other voice, other voices that tell you to go to other churches, other voices that tell you to do other things, stop hearing those voices because that's not the shepherd God has appointed over you. And I feel the Spirit right now when I'm telling you this. Get in line with your shepherd. Follow his lead, and God is going to supernaturally bless your life. Not only your life, but your descendants and their children after. The power of God is going to fall upon this church, and you guys are going to make your mark in history of Victory Outreach. You guys are going to make your mark, and the nations will know, because this will be a sending church, and God's power will be upon it. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I could just make the altar call right now. Amen. Then also it's good to see Sister Mary. Mary, you want to come share a word of greeting? All the way from Kansas City, Missouri. This is our spiritual daughter right here. And they're doing, we were just talking in the green room. I remember dropping Dan off in Kansas City when we went to spy out the church. It was a mess. The church there was a mess. And I remember we just had a barbecue. Then I prayed for Dan. I said, don't call me, I'll call you. And you know what they did? You know what they did? They moved into the men's home. They lived with the men for almost 8 years in the home with the men. And they built a dynamic church that is getting ready to give birth to other churches there in Kansas City. We love Mary very much.
We love you too, Pastor Nick. I just thank the Lord for my salvation, and he pretty much said the testimony. I thank God for my salvation. I came to Victory Outreach just all messed up, broken, lost, had no sense of direction. I thank Pastor Nick and Sister Meyer for their faithfulness to the Word of God, for their faithfulness to this ministry, and I'm just grateful to this ministry. I would want to be nowhere else but in Victory Outreach. One thing I thank God for Pastor Nick and Sister Marfa, and I want to thank Marlene, Pastor Charlie for having me. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful congregation. I thank you for your hospitality. I send greetings from Kansas City. But one thing I love about Victory Outreach, in a nutshell, they teach that if you believe in God, you will not be put to shame. And God has been faithful to Kansas City. He has drawn souls. He has been Jehovah Jireh. He has saved. He has delivered. And he is keeping many, many souls, because he got a plan to reach more souls. He wants us to go out and reach more souls. But if you can hear anything, believe in God, and you will never, ever, ever be put to shame. God bless you.
Come on, give Jesus a hand. Praise the Lord. And then I see Pastor Robert and Genevieve all the way from Cleveland, Ohio. Why don't you guys stand? Just stand right there. Come on, give them a good welcome this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning. Thank you guys very much. God bless you. Great job. Beautiful music. And I love what you guys have done to the church. It looks beautiful in here. Are you excited about your church? Luke chapter 9. We're going to read a familiar portion of Scripture, beginning at verse number 57. Amen? Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 57. It reads like this. It says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Jesus, 'Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" I want to talk to you about commitment to expand the vision, a commitment to expand the vision, because that's what it's going to take. There's no way of getting around That's what it's going to take to build this church. We can get excited. We could hear the prophetic word. We could hear messages. We could make altar calls. But unless each and every one of us commit to the expansion and the growth and the advancement of our movement, nothing will take place. We need committed people. Do you believe that this morning? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you today for everything you're doing in our lives. God, we thank you for the church, the pastors, the leaders that you've raised up here in the city of Milwaukee. And we ask right now, God, for you to speak to our hearts, God. God, I know, God, that your word, God, changes lives. It's like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's able to show us where we're at right now and show us where you want us to go. So, God, I pray you would reveal to us our level of commitment to the expansion of this vision and what we need to do to bring it to pass. As we study your word, God, I pray anoint us and have your way. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise God. You know, yesterday we were in a meeting with our pastors. We had about 10, 11 pastors in the meeting, and we had a real good time of prayer. We got into prayer, and God really moved in the prayer that we prayed. And when we got done praying, you know, I forget who said it, but someone said, we really feel God wants to do something big. And everybody said amen. And I believe that. I believe with all my heart, God wants to do something big. But right after we prayed and right after we agreed that God wanted to do something big, God started giving us things that we needed to do. Can I hear you say amen? And one of the things, I'm not going to mention what it was, we threw something out and only one person bit. Only one person said, I'll do it. And he was already committed to another area of ministry. And what it shows me is we all want God to do great things, but are we willing to pay the price for it to get done? Come on, somebody. Are you willing, Victory Outreach Milwaukee, are you willing to commit yourself to the expansion of the vision here in your local church, in your region, and through our international movement? Are you willing to do that? Amen. We can get excited about it. We can watch the videos. We can go to a conference and all of that. But unless we get to a place of 100%, I'm ready to give my life for the cause, how many know nothing's going to take place? We'll just get excited about it, but nothing will happen. I read a story about a general, an Italian general. His name was Giuseppe Garibaldi. And they said this general was instrumental in liberating and unifying Italy in the late 1800s. And he was called the hero of two worlds because of the military campaigns that he led in Europe and in South America. And history shows that he did it with a volunteer army of soldiers. They were volunteers. And he would go into the countryside, he would go into the cities, and he would recruit men for his army using these words. Look at what he would say. I offer neither pay, nor living quarters, nor provisions. I offer you hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. Let him who loves his country with all his heart, and not only with his lips, follow me. How many know that's commitment? And even Jesus says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. I think when Jesus said that, he was looking in the future. He was looking in the day and age that we live in. Because we live in a very uncommitted society. We live in a very divided world. Can I hear you say amen? We live in a time where commitment has become a foreign word to hear. Now, we know commitment is necessary in order to get Victory Outreach to where it was here, 50 years of ministry. We didn't get to where we're at today because we had uncommitted leaders. Can I hear you say amen? We didn't get to where we're at today in a ministry. An international movement all around the world, Africa, Asia, Europe, South America, Mexico. We didn't get to where we're at with people who were uncommitted. It took men and women to lay down their lives for the calling of God upon their life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Even our own founders, when they were called into the ministry, they were willing to take their young family and move them into a housing project, probably one of the worst ghettos of East Los Angeles. They moved them in there, and they started bringing drug addicts and gangsters and prostitutes and the outcasts of society into their home. I mean, that takes commitment. It took commitment for Sister Mary to go into Kansas City. They had a good job in Chicago. They both were professional people. They were saved. They were a top-tier leader in our church. And it took commitment for them to say, we'll give up all of this, and we'll take our little family, and we'll move, and we'll live with a bunch of drug addicts. Come on, somebody. It takes commitment. I even see Pastor Charlie to this day. His hands are to the plow. Can I hear you say amen? It takes commitment. Can I hear you say amen? This church wouldn't be here today if there wasn't a committed couple and some committed people behind them today. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. But how many know we haven't even scratched the surface of what God wants to do here in the city of Milwaukee? Man, I see a balcony that still needs to be full. Come on, somebody. Turn around on that balcony and just wave to your unsaved loved ones. They're going to be sitting up there. Wave to that gangster, that drug addict that you're trying to win. They're going to be up there one day. But they're not going to get there because we wish them into the house of God. They're not going to get there just because we pray them into the house of God. They're going to get there because we're committed to the house of God. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Commitment to expand the vision. That's what we need. We need a group of people. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes those who are here to say, here I am, Lord, use me. They define commitment as a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. How many know Victory Outreach? We have a cause. We've been called to the task of evangelizing the hurting people of the world with the message of hope and a plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. How many know we have a great cause? To plant churches in every inner city of the world. We have a great cause, right? And committed people, they're dedicated to that cause. Committed people, they serve out of their love for God, their love for the ministry, and their love for hurting people. We serve out of love. Can I hear you say amen? But you know what I see? We live in an age that does not value commitment anymore. They say in the time that we're living in, half of all new marriages end in divorce. Any married couples here today? I mean, no, we don't want to be a statistic. Can I hear you say amen? What is it going to take? It's going to take commitment from the husband, commitment from the wife. Can I hear you say amen? But 50% of people who get married end up in divorce. I mean, no, that's a sad statistic, especially when you're saying the words, till death do us part, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. But yet people don't follow through on their commitment. They say people have fewer close friends than they did in past decades. I don't know why. Maybe it's because people aren't loyal no more. They say that the number of people willing to join an organization is declining. The percentage of adults who fight for their country has dropped. The percentage of people who commit to attend events but fail to show up are on the rise, right? I bet you could think of at least 3 or 4 people that should be here this morning, but for whatever reason, they're not here, right? Statistics show that more people are walking away from the Lord than ever before. Now, that could be because we're in the end times. How many know we're living in the last days? And the Bible says in the last days, many are going to give heed to seducing spirits, right? Many people are going to be deceived. The Bible says in the last days, lawlessness, right? Lawlessness, like people killing people, right? Crime, people not respecting, you know, the police. Police not respecting the citizen. Come on, somebody, lawlessness. We're seeing that play out right before our eyes on television, right? People walking into different venues and killing, mass murdering people. We're seeing that take place in the times that we live. The message of commitment is no longer a popular subject. It kind of gets quiet, kind of like how you guys are right now. Come on, somebody. Jesus preached commitment. When Jesus got up in his pulpit, he preached about commitment. Can I hear you say amen? He is still looking for people today who will be committed to follow him all the way. Can I hear you say amen? I believe some of those people are here this morning. Do you believe that, Pastor Charlie? I believe we're here this morning. There's a group of people here this morning. There's a ministry here this morning that believes in preaching an unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, commitment is a central theme of his message. We find three men in the story that we read in Luke chapter 9. Three men in this passage, two of them made a verbal commitment. Two of them professed their commitment to God, and one was called out. He wasn't saying nothing, but yet Jesus called him out. And it tells me this morning, it doesn't matter how you got here. Doesn't matter if you came because you wanted to come or if you were brought by somebody. However you got here this morning, if you're here today, Jesus wants you to live a committed life for his honor and for his glory. He wants you to be committed to the expansion of this great vision that he's given to our movement. Can I hear you say amen? Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that this morning? He wants you to be committed to this cause. Now, the first man that he came to Jesus and he made a promise to Jesus. How many of you ever made a promise to the Lord? How many of you ever said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this? How many know sometimes we lie when we say that? Because he gets us out of this, but we don't do that. Right? If you heal my body, if you get me out of prison, if you bring my wife back, come on, somebody, if you give me back my kids, if I get this job, I'll be a tither. How many of you ever made a promise to the Lord that maybe you haven't kept today? Well, he wants you to still keep it. And there's still time for you to keep it this morning. The first man we see, he came to Jesus and he made a promise. And this is what he said. He promised Jesus that he would follow him wherever he went. Somebody say wherever. Wherever you go, I'll follow you wherever you go. I like that word, wherever. Because the word wherever in the Greek, it means to have no restrictions, no reservations, and no regrets. In other words, I don't put a limit on my commitment. Commitment means I'm going all the way with Jesus. Commitment means I can't get to a place where I say, well, I've been committed. I don't need to be any more committed. Right? There's no reservations. There's no limits to commitment. Can I hear you say amen? There's no restrictions to commitment. And I tell you this, there'll never be any regrets. If you commit your life to God, you will never regret the life that you live. You'll only regret it if you fail to live up to your commitment. Can I hear you say amen? I'll go wherever. He's actually saying, I'll go wherever and whenever you want me to go. Wherever and whenever. You know, sometimes when God uses people greatly, he does it unexpectedly. He calls you Usually, when God wants you to commit your life to Him, it's not a convenient time. The timing, it just doesn't line up for me to lay everything down right now. There's still issues in my life that I need to work through. There's still things that I haven't finished that I need to finish. And Pastor, once I'm finished doing them, then I'll commit my life to the Lord. But the word whenever, wherever, means exactly that. Wherever and whenever. No restrictions, no reservations, and definitely no regrets. The devil wants to make you feel regret. Can I hear you say amen? The devil wants to make you feel like, man, what about me? But I got to tell you, man, this life that we're living is the greatest life we could have ever imagined living. All you got to do is think. I mean, you just got to think a little bit to realize, man, committing my life to Jesus was the best thing I ever did. The greatest, the smartest decision that I ever made was surrendering my life to the Lord. So he comes to Jesus and he makes a promise. Like all of us, we make promises. And look what Jesus tells him. In verse 58, Jesus tells him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's the last time you hear from that guy. When Jesus told him what it was going to take to follow him wherever. You want to follow me wherever? You want to live for me? You want to serve me? You want me to do something big inside of your life? You want to be blessed? You want to see miracles take place? Well, come on, follow me wherever, follow me whenever, even when it's not convenient. But I got to tell you, foxes have holes. Birds have nests, but if you follow me, there's no place to lay your head. What was Jesus saying? What is he telling us this morning? What is he telling you and I? He's telling us the key to living a life of commitment is you have to live it by faith. You can't live it by what you see. Because sometimes what you see doesn't match up. Can I hear you say amen? Sometimes, man, what you see, what's going on around you can be very discouraging. Now, you guys have a beautiful church. You walk into this building, and you're blessed. Can I hear you say amen? You're blessed. But even in the midst of that, there's stuff going on in your life. There's things that are happening at home. There's things that are happening in your health. There's things that are happening in your finances. There's things that are going on in your family that could be very discouraging. Can I hear you say amen? Right? And you could begin to look at things and take your eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, committed people live by faith. Can I hear you say amen? Man, when we tell Jesus, I'll follow you, when we make those altar calls, even when you say amen, somebody say amen. You know what the word amen means? It means let it, so let it be. In other words, what you're saying is when the pastor's preaching on, come on, how many know we're going to give our tithes and offerings, and you say amen, what you're saying is I want to be a tither. When the pastor says we're going to go to the streets and we're going to preach the gospel, and you say amen, what do you say? I'm going to go to the streets and preach the gospel. When the pastor says we're going to sacrifice so we can build this area of ministry or reach this group of people, and you say amen, what you're saying is, Pastor, I'm going to sacrifice to do that. Amen isn't just a word that you use to make the pastor happy when he's preaching. Now, we like amens. We like hand claps, but I got to tell you, I've gotten to a place in my life where I don't need an amen. I don't need a hand clap. You could be quiet because I know if I'm preaching the truth, I know if I'm preaching the gospel, I don't need hand claps, I don't need amens, and I know the message of commitment, the message of dedication, The message of living that type of life where you are willing to follow Jesus wherever and whenever is a message that is central to the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus is always looking for committed people. Think about it. Over 2,000 years, the church has been in existence. And it's grown from just a small group of men who were a little shaky in the beginning, but the Holy Ghost got a hold of them. Come on, somebody. You might be here this morning and say, well, my walk isn't all that good. My walk doesn't match my talk. That's okay. You're in a place where the Holy Ghost is going to get a hold of you. And when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, it's going to change you just like it did those disciples that Jesus had. Just a fragment, just a handful of men Jesus poured himself into. And the church was burnt. And the church has gone through persecution. The church has gone through doctrinal disputes. The church has gone through apostasy. The church has gone through backsliding. The church has gone through, you know, unfaithful, unloyal people. But the church is still existing today. Why? Because men and women have chosen to commit themselves to the cause. Victory Outreach Milwaukee, you're still here today, and you're on the upward swing. Can I hear you say amen? You're on the progress path. Come on, somebody. Because there was a couple, there was a remnant of leaders, there was a pastor and his wife that said, you know what, we're going to remain committed to the cause by faith. Even when it doesn't look it, even when a doctor tells me, even when my wallet or your purse tells you, I'm going to be committed. Can I hear you say amen? See, the first man that told Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go and whenever you want me to follow you, he wanted to be a part of what Jesus was doing. And most people want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Most people want to be a part of the move of God. You want to be in the midst of the move of God. Most people do. Can I hear you say amen? But what he didn't want to do, he didn't want to commit his life to living the life that would enable God to usher in a move of God through him. Can I hear you say amen? Because great revivals are always ushered in through people. God gets a hold of one man. He gets a hold of another man. He gets a hold of a group of people. And the fire begins to burn throughout the congregation. Can I hear you say amen? Jesus is always looking for committed men and women. He's looking today. He's here today. And his eyes are upon Victory Outreach Milwaukee, and he's looking for men and women that you don't have to know it all, you don't have to have it all together, but he's just looking for people who are going to be willing to walk by faith. It's going to take faith to see the promise of God come to pass inside of our life. Can I hear you say amen? It's going to take faith, and that's all you need. You need faith in God. And you need faith in this great movement. You need faith in the man of God that God has put before you. Can I hear you say amen? It just takes a little bit. Can I hear you say amen? It's going to take faith, right? But we live in a time where people go to church without ever making a commitment. They don't make altar calls. There's some churches that don't even have altar calls. For the life of me, they don't have altar calls. I can imagine Victory Outreach without an altar call. I'd still be hooked on heroin. When I walked into Victory Outreach, the very first day, I walked into the house of God. I walked into Victory Outreach on the third day of a three-day fast. It was a Holy Ghost setup. They were fasting. I walked in. I was sitting on the living room, and there was guys. They were sitting there. They would come and talk to me and encourage me. Then I heard in the distance, there was like a closet by the front door, you know, where you hang your coats at. I heard some mumbling in the closet. And I'm like, man, what the heck's going on here? Something's wrong, man. Somebody's in there. It sounds like he's gobbling like a turkey. Gobble, 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 gobble. Somebody was in the prayer closet. Speaking in tongues. It didn't go for 10 minutes. Guy was in there for an hour. Then when he came out, another guy went in. They had a 24-hour prayer chain going. Third day of a three-day fast, 24-hour prayer chain. I walked into Victory Outreach like that. All of a sudden, the door opens up, and one of the guys were there. The home director was there. It was a guy that looked like somebody that was walking the prison yard. Looked like a homie. But he called me into the office, and he just told me this. He said, "You're hooked on heroin." I go, "Yeah, I'm hooked. I'm strung out." He goes, "We're going to pray for you." And they built an altar right there. And I got delivered, I got set free, I got saved, and my life has never been. Can you imagine? You want to know why? Because from the very first moment, I was taught to lay my life down at the altar of commitment. Can I hear you say amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of spiritual worship." Can you imagine us? If we didn't have a message of commitment, can you imagine the church? Now, there's a lot of churches that won't ask you for nothing. They won't tell you to stop sinning. They won't tell you to be committed. They won't tell you to live by faith. But you got to understand our movement. Can I hear you say amen? Our movement, we're a mission-minded people. Can I hear you say amen? We have young people right now all over the world. We have men and women, couples all over the world that are preaching the gospel in third world countries, in places in Africa, all over the world. They packed up their children, right? What they could take on the plane, right? And they took off to a foreign country that sometimes in the beginning when they went, they didn't even speak the language, right? But they were willing to commit their lives to expand this ministry. Come on, somebody, you need to get excited about that. See, the call to commitment is a call to live by faith. Some of you are going to hear the call of God upon your life, but it's going to take faith to step into it. You're going to hear it. You're going to know it's for you, but it isn't all going to line up. All the answers aren't going to be answered. When Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene came to Milwaukee, there wasn't a group of people waving tithing envelopes. And they didn't walk in with the keys to this building. No, they had to come in and they had to pioneer and they had to labor and they had to believe God. But look at what faith does. Look at what commitment does. Can I hear you say amen? It's going to take faith. Right? Commitment takes faith. If you lack faith, it'll be hard to commit. Can I hear you say amen? The second man, I like this one. The second man, he probably heard the first guy. You know how when you hear somebody get rebuked? Like the first guy said, "Hey, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to. And Jesus said, "Oh, really, you will? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I ain't got no place to lay my head." And he saw that guy walk away. You know, when you ask a question and you don't get the answer you want, he was probably expecting Jesus to say, "Oh, look at you, you great, mighty man of God. Look at you, come on." No, Jesus told him the truth. The second guy, you know when you hear that, you're probably like, "Whoa, wait a minute, let me back up a little bit." He was probably trying to hide and get away, right? He was probably trying to, like, you ever hide behind someone's head in church? Come on, somebody, right? The second man was called out. He was called out of the crowd by Jesus. Can you imagine that? Getting called out in the midst of a Sunday morning. Say, "Hey, brother, sister." You know, sometimes the man or woman of God will do that to you. Getting called out of the crowd. Jesus, can you imagine Jesus showing up today and just calling you by your name? Judy, Bobby, Susie. And then you do what this guy did. You know what he did? He asked Jesus, "Okay, I'll follow you, but let me first go home and bury my father." Not bad, right? Bury my father. It's kind of like, it almost seems like Jesus was being hard, right? Like he's asking too much. You know what you know Christians, you probably know them that say, man, they're asking too much. Look what Jesus tells them. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Sounds like Jesus is mean. He's hard. Sounds like, man, commitment, he's asking too much. But really isn't. Jesus saying to him that to be a committed follower, if you're going to be a committed follower, you have to be willing to leave it all. Now, here's what scholars say about this guy. Scholars say that this second man, the one that Jesus called out, his father wasn't dead. He was still alive. Jesus calls him, but he said, well, Jesus, can you wait until my dad dies? Let me bury him and let me get my inheritance from him. Then when everything lines up, I'll follow you. You know, sometimes Jesus calls us and he tells us you need to quit your job and live by faith and step into that men's home or that women's home. Or you need to quit your job and you need to live by faith and pack up your bags and go to Jacksonville, Florida. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I like about Pastor Jamie? Is, and when I presented, I presented our Jacksonville church plant to our leadership. And when I said this, it kind of got everybody's attention. I said, yeah, he already sold his house. He sold his house. Had a nice house. But he felt the calling of God. And I kept telling him, well, just be patient. Give me time. Let me, you know, I want to get everything, you know. He put his house on the market and it sold. And where are you living now? He's living upstairs of the rehab. Okay, that might not mean nothing to you. But to me and to some of my co-laborers that were in that room, they said, wow, this guy's committed. He sold his pad. He sold his house to go to a city and start a church with a group of people that don't even know he's coming. Can I hear you say amen? They don't even know he's coming. But that said something. That told me that he was willing to leave it all. It told me that Pastor Charlie was willing to give up his best. He gave up someone who had a job. He gave up someone who was heavily involved in ministry. He gave up his right-hand man. That's commitment. Can I hear you say amen? Right? It's commitment. That's what it takes. This guy in the story, he was asking to bury his father so he could wait for his inheritance before making a commitment. But look at what Jesus tells him. And I believe this isn't just for Jamie and his wife. This isn't just for the pastors. This is for some people here. Jesus tells him, but you go and preach. Tell somebody next to you, go and preach. He said, well, I'll follow you, but first let me go take care of my inheritance. Let me get everything set up for me, and then I'll serve you. And Jesus said, you need to go and preach. Somebody here needs to get that in them. The word go and preach means to go now. It means to preach now. Can I hear you say amen? It means we're living in a time that it's necessary to be committed now. Now's the time for your commitment. Today is the day that you're going to lay your life down to the Lord. Can I hear you say amen? Listen to me. There has to be a willingness to leave all without any hesitation or any regret. You know what brings a man to that place? Because I've been in that place where I was willing to leave everything. We had a nice little house. We had a nice little car. Nice little paycheck every week. I know what it takes to do that. And what Jesus wants us to understand through this second man, he wanted this guy, the second guy, to understand the urgency of his calling. There was an urgency. Can I hear you say amen? There has to be an urgency inside of our churches today to reach a lost and a dying world. There has to be, like, we can't get so busy with life. We can't get so busy with what Nick wants and what Susie wants and what Bobby wants. We can't get so busy with life that we never get busy with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted this man to understand there was an urgency for him to rise up now. For him to go and preach now. Can I hear you say amen? I don't know if you realize this, but the city of Milwaukee, beautiful city, right? Beautiful place. We stayed in a beautiful hotel. The city of Milwaukee is listed in the top 10 most dangerous cities in the United States. Did you know that about your city? The top 10 most dangerous. New York, Chicago, L.A. I mean, you're right there. You know, you might not get the press that Chicago's getting, but you're in the top 10. You ain't far behind us. The top 10 most, and you know what? It's safer today because some of you are here now. Come on, somebody. It's safer today than it was. This was a 2015 report. You might have went down to 11 or 12 now because some of you guys got saved. But do you understand the urgency, the need? And where is it? North Milwaukee, right? Where's that place where it goes crazy, right? The north side, right? Gets a little crazy there, right? Everybody has a community like that. But the top 10 most dangerous cities, here are two reasons why. And this is what makes us who we are. The two reasons why your city is in the top 10 most dangerous cities in the United States is gang violence and drug abuse. Think about that. Let that sink in. The top cop of your city, the police chief, called the gangs in the city of Milwaukee urban terrorists. That's what they're hearing. There's been an increase of 500%. I don't know if anybody's hearing this. There's been a 500% increase in opiate abuse since 2005. 500% increase in heroin. Come on. Church, we have to understand this morning. We need to truly commit ourselves to God. It's happening in our communities. It's not just happening in other parts of the world. It's happening in your backyard. It's happening to your families. It's happening to your coworkers. Your kids are going to school with them. There is a need. There is an urgency today for men and women to rise up. There's a lost and there's a dying world out there that needs the hope. Gang violence and drug addiction has created a place for Victory Outreach to step in. We have a message for the need of your community. This church has a message of hope and a plan of salvation to change your city. You listen to me, Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Committed men and women here today can change this city. We can turn this city around for God's honor and for God's glory. We can fill this place up with treasures out of darkness. We can fill those rehab homes up with hurting men and women. You have to sense the urgency. See, committed people sense the urgency. They know, I don't have 5 years, 10 years. There's a window open right now for me. There's an opportunity today for me to put my... Jesus has called me by my name. Think about this. This young guy out of the whole crowd, Jesus said, you, come on, follow me. There's an opportunity. Jesus is saying, Victory Outreach Milwaukee, if you follow me, if you commit your life to me, great things will happen. You haven't seen it. You haven't felt it. You can't even understand it. what God is going to do when you begin to bring your life to the altar and you're willing to lay your life down and sacrifice all for God's honor and God's glory. It takes a willingness to sacrifice. Can I hear you say amen? See, there's an urgency in our ministry for committed people because we need leadership. I took a poll of our pastors. I asked everybody, what are the greatest needs in your church? Every pastor said leadership. We have a need for leadership in our church. We have a need for leadership in our region. We want to send, listen to this, we want to send 18 team members to Jacksonville, Florida. 18, we need 18 soldiers. And we don't want just people that are going to say, I'll go. Man, we want soldiers. We want people that are going to go. We want our team, we want half of them to go to work. We'll say, I'll go to work, but that ain't it. Comma, and give their checkup. Yeah. I'm asking for committed people. We want the other half to be in the streets all day long. And then in 6 months, switch them around. So it's going to tell me it isn't just going to be a casual Christian that's going to go be on your team, Jamie. We need some committed people. I got work to do. I need to go back to my church, and I need to find a couple committed soldiers to go on this church plant. People that are going to willing to understand that we're doing this to reach hurting people. It's going to take commitment. Can I hear you say amen? There's an urgency. We need team members. We need leaders in our church. We need missionaries. We need staff in the UTC. We need missionaries. There's always a need. Every time we get together, there's a need for missionaries. We need them. We need them in Africa. We need them in Brazil. We need them in Asia. We need them in Eastern Europe. The type of men and women we need are men and women that are willing to leave the comfort of home and go to a third world country. When I bring the pastors from Brazil here, the first time I brought them, I took them to the housing projects where we still had the housing projects there in Cabrini Green, and I took them there. They said, we want to see the worst part of your city. And I took them, and they looked at me, and they said, oh, but these are nice apartments. Because compared to their ghetto, the favelas, ramshackle houses put together with no plumbing. Come on, somebody. Compared to their ghetto, it was nice. But we need the type of people that are here that say, you know what? I'm willing to step into something I've never seen before. I'm ready to confront a poverty and a crime level that I've never seen before. We need committed men and women. Can I hear you say amen? Right? The third man, the third guy, he comes to Jesus, and he makes a reasonable request. He tells Jesus, okay, I'll follow you. I'm going to follow you. Like, Pastor, I'm going to commit. I'll make the commitment, but I want to go home and say goodbye to my family. Not a bad thing, right? Go say bye to mom and dad, brother and sister. And Jesus makes another statement that sounds hard when he tells the man he's not fit. Think about it. He tells the guy, you know what? No one looking back is fit. You put your hands to the plow and you look back, you're not fit. You know, if I told somebody that in my church, they'd leave my church. I've had people get hurt with me for things I've said to them. Oh, you hurt me, Pastor. And I don't say nothing to the caliber of what Jesus said to people. Man, he called Peter Satan. They'd probably send an email on me complaining, oh, he's calling me devil. Jesus tells the guy comes and says, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. Now, again, remember, he saw the first guy come to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, and how Jesus dealt with him. He saw the second guy get called out. He said, well, he's probably going to call me anyways. So I'm going to go ahead. Hey, I'll follow you, but let me first go home and say goodbye. And Jesus tells a man, no one putting their hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What's wrong with going to say goodbye? It wasn't saying goodbye that got to Jesus. It was something deeper that Jesus saw. The man's commitment was to someone else or something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me today. Jesus wants to be number one. He wants to be number one. He wants to be the Lord. Lord means master, ruler. He's in control of everything. Can I hear you say amen? The farewell to his family was more than a simple goodbye. Ancient customs call for prolonged goodbyes filled with festive parties, and it was likely that the man had intended to have several farewell parties with both family and friends that could take days or even weeks before he got done. You know what it is? We'll make a commitment, but then we'll prolong fulfilling it. Come on, somebody. You know, like some of you are still driving around on a suspended license, but you've made a decision, I'm going to go get my license as soon as I get time. You know, when the time, I'll get there eventually, right? Aren't we good at putting stuff off? Come on, somebody. We're good at procrastinating, right? Jesus doesn't want procrastinators. Come on now. He wants people who would lay down their lives. See, there's times, I believe we're all like this guy, because there's times we're more focused, watch this, on what we're going to lose. We're more focused on what we're going to give up. We're more focused on what we have to let go of to be committed than what we gain. We forget. We gain much more than you give up. Jesus said it. He said in Luke chapter 6, give, commit, surrender, sacrifice, whatever word you want to put. Give and it'll be given unto you. A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We see this over and over with the little boy. He brought the few loaves and the fish and he gave it to Jesus. Jesus takes it, breaks it. He prays for it and he multiplies it. Listen to me. What you're going to give up for Christ today, you're going to get back much, 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 much more. We're like this guy, though, because we're more focused on what we lose by following. Too many of us are like that. Too many of us are like that. We're looking at what we lose instead of what we gain. I believe we need to take a careful look at everything that we gain by making a commitment to Christ. I wrote down a few. Can I give them to you? When you commit your life to Christ, you gain his presence. His presence. Bible says in his presence there's fullness of joy. The presence of the Lord. When I made that altar call the very first day, when I said yes to the Lord that very first day, the presence of the Lord came in that room and broke the chains of bondage. You gain his presence. Wherever the presence of God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. You got any bars? You got any chains that need to be broken? When you commit your life to God, you gain his presence, and in his presence there's fullness of joy. Not only do you gain his presence, but when you commit your life to God, you gain his promise. Do you know this morning that God's promises are always yes and amen? Whatever God promised to do for you, he's going to do it, right? It might be delayed, but delay isn't denial. Come on, somebody. Delay is not denial. You gain his promise. I know wherever I go, I have a promise from God that God says, I'll go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll cut asunder the bars of brass. Come on, somebody. I will give you the treasures out of darkness, the hidden riches. See, I know wherever I step, God is with me. God is making a way for me, and God is going to provide for me. All I have to do is put my hand to it, and God will do the rest. Can I hear you say amen? If I do what's possible, God always does what's impossible. Commit your life to God, and you'll see miracles take place. You gain his presence. You gain his promise. You gain his provision. God provides. Can I hear you say amen? I know Mary knows that. God provides. I know me and my wife know that. God provides. We came here with nothing. We came here. I know Steve knows God will provide. We drove up to Chicago with nothing. And we're blessed today. God provides. He's taking care of us every step of the way. Jamie, I know you're going to experience this. Jehovah Jireh, God is going to provide for you. You have not even begun to think of the great things that God is going to do there in Jacksonville, Florida. He provides. You gain his provision. Whatever you give up for God, he gives it back to you better. I'm telling you, you give up one, he gives you two. You give up silver, he'll give you gold. Come on, somebody. Whatever you give up, you gain his provision. You gain his peace. Oh, in the midst of the storm, you could be like Jesus, fast asleep. Why doesn't it bug you? Why do you see committed people not being bugged when the storms come? They go through the storm. We don't like the storms, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't like the storms, but I know I'll get through the storm because I know Jesus, he gets us through the storms. So I can have peace in the midst of my storm as long as I keep my eyes on him. So you gain his peace. You gain his provision. You gain his promise. You gain his presence. You gain his power. Oh, do you think Pastor Nick and Pastor Charlie and Pastor Robert came into our cities under our own power? You know, as bad as we might have thought we were, devil's way badder than us in our own strength. Can I hear you say amen? We're no match for the enemy. We're no match for the problems. There's nothing that I could say in my own words and in my own strength that's going to change a drug addict's mind. Oh, but catch me under the anointing. Catch me under the power of God. And you begin to share the message of hope. You begin to weave your testimony. And all of a sudden, you see these hardcore individuals begin to crack a little tear in the corner of their eye. Why? Because you gain the power of God. When you lay your life down at the altar, God pours out his power upon your life. Right? But here's the one I like. God gave me this one this morning. Not only do we gain his presence, his promise, his provision, his peace, his power, we gain his posterity. Now, some of you folk that went to school know what that word means. Me, I had to look it up. We gain future generations. Yeah. Your children's children. You commit your life to God. You're going to see, you know, my Bible tells me if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'll be saved and my house. I have to remind God of that when I pray. God, you said in your word, and this is how I receive your word, is that not only am I going to get saved, but my immediate family is going to get saved. My grandchildren are going to get saved. My son-in-law is going to get saved. My son, my daughter's going to. I have to remind God of his promise because, man, we gain his posterity. Future generations, you're going to see your family come to know the Lord. You're going to see those kids that aren't even birthed. They're going to be preaching the gospel. Why? Because their mommy, their daddy, their brother, their sister laid their life down. Grandma, you lay your life down and you're going to see those grandchildren come to know the Lord. Commitment. No other way to do it. Jesus knew it and he preached it. He preached commitment. Let me have the musicians come. And let me say this in closing. It is absolutely impossible to live a victorious Christian life without having commitment. It is impossible. You will not walk in victory without, because sometimes the thing that gets you through the fiery trials that you face, sometimes the only thing that gets you through the storms that you're going through, sometimes the only thing that are going to get you through the loss of that loved one, that sickness that you're battling against, that need, that lack that's going on in your life for a season, the only thing that's going to get you through the hard times. Come on, somebody. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's going to come. And the only thing that can get you through it is your commitment to God. People can come and say, I'm praying for you. And that's good. Pray for me, please. People can come and give me an encouraging word. And that's great. But sometimes the only thing that has gotten me through and that has kept me is where I say, God, no matter what, I'm going to serve you. I'm not going to quit. I know I haven't been perfect. I know I've made mistakes, but I ain't going to give up. I'm going to keep on going for it. Jesus is looking for men and women this morning who will have a commitment to expand.